Good evening, everybody. I want to say again just how thankful I am for the people that have been supporting our family. Natalie and I have always wondered, with each kid that we've had, we're just blown away by the support that we always get from our church family, from the people that that we meet with on Sundays. And it's always surprised us. It's always amazed us because we've always wondered what it was like if we didn't have a church body. And for those of our friends who have had children, we've always wanted to ask them, what do you do when you have kids? Do people just give you food randomly like they do us? How does that community exist if you didn't have a church body like we do? We wouldn't survive if you guys didn't bring over 18 lasagnas. And I do, knowing this church, I now have to tell people, you're going to have to stagger your meals because people keep bringing over. It's like you guys are trying to kill us with kindness, and it is working, and we love it. And so again, we want to thank you guys. It has been interesting. Today my topic is going to be something that I feel like every parent, whether they're a new parent or they're an older parent having another kid, a topic that just keeps kind of coming up, and that is anxiety. And so that's kind of my thought today, because I thought, what could I possibly be speaking on? And I thought, stress, why not? It's something I'm living with. I'm going to talk about stress. I love discussing things that I'm personally struggling with. And stress is one of those things that I'm constantly feeling like I have a grasp on. I remember when we first had Abigail, and for those of you who have had children, I feel like there's nothing quite like the stress of having your first child. Because you feel like you can prepare enough for your child, right? And hopefully I'm not the only one who felt like this, but you get all the nice baby showers. We had 8 baby showers. We had baby showers my mom threw, her friends threw, all of our churches, all the churches we've ever been to threw us baby showers. And we were arrogant and thinking we could possibly, we can possibly know what's going to happen when we have our first kid. We got the nicest car seat. We got the nicest stroller that we could afford, right? I can't believe how expensive strollers are. Just strollers. Spending $500 on a stroller just blows my mind. But you want to get the nicest stuff, right? This is your first kid. You read all of the books that you possibly can, and then you have the child, right? And I believe the first example of this is when you actually are in the delivery room. For those of you who have ever gone through Lamaze class, we all know that it's nonsense, right? They teach you Lamaze, they teach you how to breathe, but when you're actually delivering the kid, you never stop to think of, oh, wait a minute, the Lamaze, okay, what did I remember this? No, you are terrified. You are standing in a room and people are telling you what to do and you do it. You have no idea what's going to happen. And I believe that at that point I knew what stress was, right? I kind of had an idea, I had a concept. I kind of had stress in its corner. Well, then we had Lydia. And the second kid it's not as bad as your first, but to us, our second kid, it's kind of rough because with your second kid, you kind of now know that you know nothing, right? With your second kid, everyone's giving you advice, and I hate when people give advice, so I'm going to give you my advice today. That when we had our second kid, people come up and said, oh, your life is going to change. Your second child is going to change absolutely everything. And we thought, well, what did our first kid do? Normalize our lives? How crazier could it possibly get, right? No, it can't get possibly any worse with a second child. And then you have the second child, and you're like, they were right. What was I thinking? Why can't I be just happy with one kid? And then a third. By our third, we thought we knew what we're doing. And we kind of know what you're doing. You know how to change diapers. If you don't know how to change diapers, then you've been doing something wrong this entire time. But stress is always there. Whether it be in finances, whether it be in health, whether it be in some other area of your life, stress just seems to be a part of the human condition. As kids, we always wondered, or I always wondered, what anxiety was. When you're a child, and you're especially growing up within the church, we always go through Matthew chapter 6, which we're going to be going to tonight. And I always wondered as a kid, what was so stressful about being an adult? Right? Because to you, the most stressful thing that you're doing is when I have to go to bed or when I have to take a bath. I love my children and how they view stress. To them, stress is that they can't play all day, every day. They want to hang out with Elias all the time. And to them, stress is having to go home. They love coming to church. They love being a part of, they love being around people. They're extremely sociable kids. However, as a teenager, I believed that my anxiety was going to kill me. I love seeing stress through teenagers. That's why one of the reasons why I loved working with youth, I love working with young adults, because I love seeing them stress out and what they stress out over. Right, if you've ever had young adults, if you've ever had teenagers, it's just amazing what they can stress out about. And I remember thinking, yeah, as a kid, you don't even know what stress is, and you're wondering why all the adults are freaking out. And as a teenager, you know what stress is. You know the definition of stress, right? You don't have the right shirt on. You don't go to the right dance. I imagine young adults go to dances. Everything has to be in its right place. And then you kind of get older, and stress is, what college do I go to? If I go to college, what degree am I going to get? What major am I going to get? And I love seeing people as they graduate. And if you're probably seeing all the pictures through Facebook now of all those happy faces of the graduating class. And you know, they have no idea what they're doing. None. And you see the happiness for like 15 minutes before they have to start looking for a job. And then they start seeing what stress actually is. See, I was told by ministers growing up to not be anxious. However, I knew that anxiety is a part of the human experience. I remember hearing these lessons over Matthew chapter 6. I remember hearing and being told, just don't stress out. Well, how does one not stress out over things? I stress out over not stressing over things. You're just not supposed to stress. Rarely was I told how to prevent anxiety. However, the world told me one really good way to prevent anxiety. Those were drugs. The world is very good in stepping in when we are silent. And anxiety and stress is one of those cases where I've seen people who have no idea how to handle stress, no idea how to handle anxiety of life, of jobs, of family. And instead of turning to God or instead of turning to one another, they turn to drugs, because the world is very good at telling us that drugs is the number one way to deal with stress, to deal with anxiety, to get rid of it. It's so natural to feel like our current situation, whether it be health, whether it be our economy, whether it be our jobs or our relationships, it is so natural to feel like those situations will swallow us whole. We all know what it's like to be stressed out, right? We all know what it's like that instead of to deal with our stress, to deal with our anxiety, to open it up and to ask others for help, we repress it. We keep it within ourselves. We know what that feels like. We start getting ill. It's easier to get sick. We start shutting down instead of opening up. And we start turning people away instead of asking them for help, which is the one thing that we need to do. See, we all understand what it is like to be overstressed, to be surrounded by anxiety. Now that I'm an adult, I don't know if people are just generally better at hiding their anxiety and stress, or that everybody is so stressed out that no one remembers what it's like to be normal. Do you remember what it was like to be normal, to not have a care in the world, to not feel stress? So now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. This is such a cliche verse that we go to convince ourselves that if we say this enough times that it will become true. We go to this verse whenever we're stressed, and we read this and we say to ourselves, don't be stressed, don't be stressed, don't be stressed, don't be stressed, just don't, whatever you do, don't be stressed. And you read the verse over and over and over and over again, and you're wondering why it's not working. And however, I just love how Jesus talks to us. And how Jesus talks to his disciples about real life problems. And so let's begin in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" I don't really want you guys to focus necessarily on what he is saying, because we take this verse and we kind of pick it out of the context of the Sermon on the Mount. We look at this and say, okay, guys, therefore, don't be anxious, right? Just do what Jesus said and you will be okay, which is true in itself. But I want you to remember the context that we find this passage, that so far, Jesus has been talking about giving and prayer and fasting and giving up your wealth. That Jesus had been talking about these subjects. He's been talking about how to fast, how to pray, how to give up your wealth by saying and trying to change our minds, trying to change our culture. And it is only after that that we find ourselves talking about anxiety. Even after this passage, on into chapter 7, Jesus starts talking about judging one another and how we should treat one another, how we need to treat each other fairly, how we shouldn't judge each other, that we need to accept one another. Doesn't that interest you that Jesus put this passage about anxiety between all of the things that I've been told that will help me relieve anxiety? That Jesus talks about prayer and fasting, and he says it in such a way as to say, this will probably cause you anxiety. Have you ever fasted in your life? Have any of you ever fasted? Seriously fasted, not accidentally fasted? Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, not on purpose. When you look at how he talks about giving your wealth, when was the last time you gave of your wealth? You gave of your wealth, not just what you had on you at the time, but that you gave something dear to you, something that you wanted, something that you wanted to keep, something that you believed you deserve. You know, I've told this story before, and it's one of the best stories that I have of people giving out of their wealth. I remember I was trapped in Texas. I was trying to come back to California, and I had no money. I had run out, completely out of money. And this is when I was back in Adventures and Missions, and I was done with my Lubbock time. And we had went to this church. We were just speaking at this church, and at the end of it, someone came up to us and asked us, they said, "Are you guys in need? Are you guys... is there anything that we as a church can help you with?" Because they had heard that we were a part of the AIM program. And we said, we had to be honest. We said, "Yes, we're kind of trapped in Texas. We don't know how we're going to get back. We all kind of ran out of money. We're trying to get a U-Haul." And so they kind of went their own way. And then they came back with this lady. She was crying. She was in tears. And she gave us a check and she walked away. And the check was for $750, which just happened to be the exact amount for our U-Haul. It's one of those stories where I wish you guys could all have been there so you guys can see the God working through this situation. And we were just blown away. We were amazed. We were never going to go to this church ever again. We were never going to meet these people ever again. And this happened to us. And we were just completely fried. We had no idea. We were just amazed. And we thanked God. And as we walked out of the building, this guy came up to one of us, the person who asked us if we need help, and said, "You guys need to understand what just happened. This lady, her father just died, and that was a part of her inheritance that she gave to you." And it was one of the most humbling experiences that we've ever had, thinking that we're going to spend this money on a U-Haul, just a U-Haul. And this lady had given up her inheritance for us. I know that each and every one of us can share stories like that, of people giving out of their wealth. And so it makes sense that it's Jesus is trying to refocus people, that they're trying to, Jesus is trying to refocus what they consider prayer, what they consider fasting, what they consider as a spiritual discipline. And he talks to them about changing their idea of wealth, of letting go of their wealth. And then he talks about anxiety and stress. See, I find it incredible that Jesus sandwiches all of this in amongst the very things that I believe are there to help relieve anxiety, not necessarily cause it. See, we know the cause of our stress. We know what that is. We feel stress whenever we feel out of control, when we are lost, and we are completely spent. See, that is the cause of stress, when we feel this, when we feel the world coming around us. And Jesus understands this because when he's trying to talk to people and he's trying to refocus their minds on what is really important, he understands that it is so easy to be consumed by by our situations. It is so easy to be consumed by what we feel to be so very important. Let's continue. Let's continue from verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, Jesus wants to get off. He wants us to get off of our control, of our obsession with control. Jesus wants us to refocus, not on others, not on ourselves, not on families or our situations. Jesus wants us to focus on the kingdom of heaven, on something bigger than us, something bigger than everybody else. I do not want you to believe that I've come here today to tell you how to fix anxiety, how to fix stress, because I don't even know how to do that myself. All I can tell you is what Jesus is trying to convey to these people, which is, it is not enough to just focus inwardly. It is not enough just to focus outwardly. It is enough, however, to focus on Jesus, to look at him, and to stay on him. You see, Jesus wants us to focus on his kingdom, his purpose, and his voice. See, when you go through pain, it's usually the comforting voice of your loved one that's enough to help you endure it. You know, I'm amazed by the delivery process of bringing life into this world. It just blows my mind how both, it just seems ancient, and also, I mean, just the idea of people have been doing this for just thousands of years, has been delivering babies. And to think that not only will my experience be different than all of those others, but just how old school it is. You think in this modern day and age we'd have robots already, or we would have something in the delivery room with us, but it's the Natalie, the doctor, and two nurses, and that was it. And it is incredible just to be there and to witness your child come into this world. It is amazing. However, what is actually incredible is when Natalie is going through the pain, and I imagine all women, all when you are delivering a children, are going through the same pain, it is the father's job to do what? Yes, stay terrified in a corner, to get your wife, to get the mother to breathe. You're there to be speaking to your wife, to your spouse. You're trying to get her to calm down. You're trying to get her to breathe through the pain. And it feels like nothing. It feels like you're actually causing more harm than good, right? Because you're sitting there just trying to get this person who is experiencing a pain that you will never experience in your life, by telling them, all right, you need to stop yelling, right? You need to stop screaming, just breathe, as they are looking at you saying, you want to be here? Yeah. Let's switch spots and see how you do. Which I know that's what Natalie's thinking in her eyes. However, it is my job, it is our job as husbands and fathers to be there and to speak love to your wife, to get her to breathe, to just breathe over and over and over again. Just breathe, as they're experiencing pain and suffering. Just breathe, just breathe. You know, it's one of the fondest memories I believe we all have growing up is the voice of our mother, especially when we're going through. And I remember back in the day when Vicks VapoRub, that you just, whenever you were sick, you just wanted your mom to put Vicks VapoRub. And that was, honestly, it could be just black magic. You just wanted the attention of your mother. You just wanted that, you wanted her to talk to you, to say that she loved you, to say that she was there for you. You just wanted that experience. Jesus wants us to focus on his voice, to focus on his purpose, and to focus on his kingdom. We can't read this by saying or by thinking that Jesus is telling his disciples, do you guys want to stress less? Then don't stress, right? Don't be anxious. Don't stress. Don't be anxious. Don't stress. I don't imagine that's how Jesus is saying this to his crowd. I imagine as he is being repetitious, as he is saying this over and over again to these people, he's saying, don't be anxious. Just breathe. Don't be stressed. Just breathe. Look at the lilies. Look at the birds. Look around you. Do you not see God in everything? Do you not see God in how he takes care of the flowers and how he takes care of the birds? You know, listen, and if those are just birds and flowers, you are so much more important than them. You are more important than the flowers. You are more important than the birds. You are more important than all of these things. Don't be anxious. Think of the kingdom of God. Think of what God is doing through you, because of you, in spite of you. Think about what God is doing through other people around you. See, the kingdom contains a nation of people that exist to help others. See, I can't tell you how to cure your stress or your anxiety, but I can be a hand for you to hold. I can be a shoulder for you to lean on, and I can give you a hug when needed. And that's the best that I can do. And I believe that's why God has given us one another. That's why God has set up a church family. So that we don't experience stress and anxiety individually. That we can share it with one another. Because let's be honest, we all stress out. We all just feel like the world is coming down around us. That is why we have one another. That is why we have a family. So my challenge for you today, tonight, this week, is to look for people in your life that not only need your help, that need your hand to hold, that need your shoulder to lean on, but if you yourself need help in any way, we as a leadership, we as your family would love to help you just however we can. So let's please stand. Let's praise God.